May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. This morning, we are going to take a tour of the Holy City, New Jerusalem. The internal sense of the word revealed by the Lord in his second coming will be our guide. We will begin at what appears from the text of Revelation to be in the center of the Holy City. We will begin with the throne of God and of the Lamb. From the Lord's throne flowed a pure river of water of life, bright as crystal. This water source for the entire city of the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is the truth from the Lord through his word. In the midst of this river stands the tree of life. This tree, unlike any other tree we are familiar with, grows 12 different kinds of fruit, depending on the month. The leaves of the tree, we are taught in the word, are for the healing of the nations. This tree of life at the center of the holy city signifies the divine love of the Lord. Its central location in the midst of and spanning the river signifies the Lord's divine love present within every single truth of the new church. This tree is also described as being in the midst of a street. The street and the river are those divine truths in abundance surrounding the Lord's love. The tree of life, however, can also be seen as each one of us if we are filled with the Lord's love and allow his love to motivate us. The particular type of fruit produced depends on the good deeds we do, which are in turn produced according to the truth that each one of us knows. When we are motivated by the Lord's love within us, we want nothing more than to engage in kind acts toward our fellow human beings according to the truth that we know. With each new truth we learn, the Lord's divine love can blossom into a nourishing fruit of the tree of life, if we understand and love what the Lord is teaching us. The leaves of the tree of life, however, are of a very different nature than its fruit. The leaves that will heal the nations are the true and comforting ideas available to people who do not read the word. They are specifically termed in the heavenly doctrine rational truths. These ideas can create a receptive environment for the more spiritual notions revealed by the Lord in the heavenly doctrine. Perhaps the rational truths represented by the leaves of the tree include the view held by many believers in God today that heaven is not open only to those of a particular faith. This basic idea sounds with the ring of truth for many. And the healing power of this sensible idea is reflected in its growing pervasiveness, despite its absence from the traditional doctrine of many Christian churches, if not all. As the Lord teaches in heaven and hell, that the Gentiles, equally with Christians, are saved. Anyone can see who knows what it is that makes heaven in man. For heaven is within a man, and those who have heaven within them come into heaven. Heaven in a man is acknowledging the divine and being led by the divine. Just as the leaves of an aloe plant produce gel that soothes the pain of a burn, the healing power of this rational truth of heaven's non-exclusivity is beginning to appear. This growing notion that heaven is open to all good people who believe in and follow the divine may very well be a primary example of how rational truths now available to those who do not yet have the heavenly doctrine will set the stage for entering into the truths of the new church, whether here on earth or in the spiritual world. We will return to this discussion later on in our tour of the Holy City when we pass through its gates. Now we must, however, depart from the Tree of Life and Center City, New Jerusalem, and continue our exploration outwards. With the Tree of Life behind us, we can now look outward and begin to appreciate the immensity of this city. In fact, as we look out at the city from any point, anywhere near the middle of the holy city, we cannot see its boundaries. From street level, we see golden buildings and streets in every direction, including up, as far as the eye can see. The city is square in its shape, 12,000 stadia long, wide, and tall. The equivalent of 12,000 stadia is approximately 1,380 miles. This is roughly the distance from here to the center of Kansas. The holy city would have covered the eastern half of the United States, and its buildings would have reached through the breathable atmosphere and well into space. It would have covered the entire horizon as John viewed its descent. Just as the Lord's divine love is signified by the tree of life in the center of the holy city, the dimensions of the city itself reflect the central role of the goodness that comes from the Lord's love in shaping the city. The Lord teaches us in Apocalypse Revealed that the length means the goodness of love, breadth, the truth that comes from it, and height, goodness and truth together in every degree. Because length is mentioned first in the book of Revelation and the other dimensions are equal to it, it should be understood that everything in the holy city is predicated from the goodness that comes from the Lord's love. The importance of the role that goodness from the Lord's love plays in the holy city cannot be overstated. So far, we have seen that it's present in the tree of life in the very center of the city, and its dimensions, and in the dimensions of the city itself. As written in Apocalypse Revealed, there does not exist a grain of truth, which in itself is true in man, except so far as it is from the good of love from the Lord. Thus, the new church can only be the new church if the Lord's divine love is at its center, and if its dimensions are determined by the goodness that comes from the Lord's love. Like the tree of life in the very measurements of the holy city, the clear, glass-like, golden appearance of its buildings and its streets also demonstrates that every aspect of the holy city, New Jerusalem, embodies the goodness that comes from the Lord's love. So, down these streets, we will now travel to the city's walls and gates. This is an excursion that would take approximately 10 hours if it was done in a car beginning at the center of the city. As we approach the walls of the city, we first notice their shining, translucent, and fiery combination of various colors, including reds, oranges, and yellows. This appearance represents the divine truth in the literal sense of the word, through which the spiritual sense shines in the understandings of those who have the doctrine of the new church. The wall is 144 cubits high, which is roughly 216 feet. This would be more than 10 times the height of this sanctuary. Due to its size and splendor, the holy city's wall is described as great and high in the book of Revelation. Apocalypse Revealed teaches that the wall means the word as to the divine good and the divine truth, for great is predicated of good and high of truth. Thus, in a representative sense, the wall appears great because there is goodness at its core, and high because it is built from truth. The nature of the wall is particularly interesting when one considers that the wall, in relation to the city as a whole, bears the same relationship as the literal sense of the word to the doctrine of the new church. The wall is the containing vessel which protects the city and its inhabitants, just as the literal sense of the word protects the spiritual meaning within it. These walls have 12 entry points for people who wish to enter the city. Each of these entryways has a gate made of a single enormous pearl, and these gates are always open. The entryways are the notions of truth and goodness from the word that introduce a person into the new church. And the pearls each relate to the concept of the Lord, because this concept is part of everything having to do with the new church. Above each one of these gates is an angel etched into the shining, translucent wall, almost as if watching over the gates. Each angel has the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel written on it. The angels and their names mean the introductory concepts that lead a person to the holy city only if he is in the knowledge of these truths from the Lord. There are three gates on each of the four walls of the city. These gates each face a different cardinal direction, meaning that they are introductory concepts of truths and goods that appeal to different affections. The gates facing east are for those who have a higher affection for goodness. The gates facing west are for those with the same affection to a lesser degree. Likewise, the gates on the south side are for those with an affection for truth in a higher degree, and the gates on the north, the same affection to a lesser degree. The fact that these gates are always open means that people who wish to enter the city based on their affections for goodness and truth are continually being let in. What then does this process of being led to and entering the city look like in the spiritual sense? Well, it might go like this. As mentioned earlier, one of the healing rational truths represented by the tree of life, by the leaves of the tree of life, may be the non-exclusivity of heaven. And perhaps one of the gates or introductory truths is related directly to this rational truth. The gate for a person healed by this rational truth could be the golden rule, which is known to virtually everyone in some form, and makes sense to a person who sees heaven as a place where all good people should be welcome. When a person without the word who believes that heaven should be open to all good people learns that the golden rule is actually from the Lord, it could lead him to the holy city through a gate that represents an introductory truth, like loving the neighbor as thyself. Maybe we can see this gate is located on the west side of the city, because it is a gate through which those who have basic affections for goodness enter the city. Well, now that we are at the gates, let us pass through and exit the city. Once we are through the gate, we can look back at the buildings of the city rising miles and miles above the walls into space. When we then notice that the entire city rests upon a foundation made of 12 layers of precious stones, then we see that each layer has the name of one of the apostles inscribed upon it. This layered foundation, named for the apostles, represents all of the doctrine of the new church. Furthermore, the foundations being made of precious stones, like the breastplate of Aaron, also represent the doctrine of the new church that shines through the letter of the word, just as the stones in Aaron's breastplate lit up with messages from the Lord. As we walk further from the holy city, we begin to recognize that there is a brilliant light emitting from the walls of this urban continent. This light, like the foundations of the holy city, is reminiscent of the Urim and Thummim of Aaron's breastplate, and indeed holds the same representation. The light means the spiritual sense of the word shining through its literal sense in, as the Lord says in Apocalypse Revealed, the understanding of the word among people who possess the doctrine of the New Jerusalem and live according to it. The light illuminates the entire sky as far as one can see, just as the spiritual sense of the word can guide every single action we take. Now, our tour is complete. But before we return our attention to the cities of this world, let us spend a moment considering two aspects of the holy city that seem to predominate. First, goodness from the Lord's love. It plays a central and pervasive role in every aspect of the holy city. Not only is the Lord's love as the tree of life at the center of the city, but the goodness that comes from it determines the golden color of everything there. Moreover, the enormous and cubic dimensions of the city are determined by the central role of goodness that comes from the Lord's love. Every aspect of the city draws its appearance from the Lord's goodness and from His divine love. Secondly, the goodness that comes from the Lord's love is everywhere surrounded by and accessed by truth from the Word. The tree of life is surrounded by the river and a street. And the tree couldn't even be found without traveling along the city's thoroughfares of truth. The city itself can be entered only through gates of introductory truths, and the foundation of the very city is the heavenly doctrine of the new church. Now, it appears that John was shown the city from the outside in the book of Revelation. And that is the order that we should follow to truly live a life of goodness from love to the Lord. That is, we'll first enter that life by introductory truths, which will then help us more fully receive and live in the Lord's love. And once we work our way to the center of the holy city, we can then travel back along those same streets, this time starting from the goodness of the Lord's love rather than the truths that brought us there in the first place. Then, when we see the city from the inside out, appreciating the primacy of the Lord's love in every single aspect of the city, surrounded by and supported by the truths of the heavenly doctrine of the new church, we will be well equipped to serve the Lord by helping everyone we can to find its gates. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.